This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. Last week, researchers and local experts gathered to share and compare environmental knowledge in Bethel. The conference highlighted the power of linking Indigenous knowledge and firsthand experience with Western science, particularly across issues facing the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Here's the report.
It's the beginning of the Western Alaska Interdisciplinary Science Conference. But before everyone gets down to work, organizer Katie Basil asks them to stop and
think about resilience and abundance in Western Alaska. What does that look like? What foods are available? What languages are spoken? When you walk through that village or town, what do you see and hear?
Basil, who works with the Alaska Sea Grant, which organized the conference, says it's hard not to get bogged down by the difficult issues the region is facing. Many of those problems are informing research presented this week. Salmon fisheries in decline, permafrost erosion, and the devastation of ex-typhoon Halong. Basil says this gathering is also an opportunity to imagine what things could lead to a better future.
How does our knowledge and research support that vision? What conversations can we have this week that will connect us to a narrative of abundance and resilience?
The conference, also called WASC, was born out of Dillingham. Its founder, UAF professor and environmental researcher Todd Radenbaugh, was passionate about environmental education and felt it was important for scientists and conservationists to convene in the communities where they conducted research. Now, the conference is in its 18th year, and it rotates between Western Alaska communities. Though it's a stage for research and projects across the region, it typically has a tailored focus to that year's host community. It has been over a decade since WASC was last hosted on the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This year's conference was titled Narratives from a Resilient Coast, and the lineup of presenters included outside researchers and local speakers. Bridging Indigenous knowledge, often in the form of oral accounts recalling firsthand experiences with Western science, took center stage at the conference. Joanne Slatz is the mayor of Napakiak, a Kuskokwim River community managing a piecemeal relocation in response to shoreline erosion. She spoke about growing up in the village, back when not everybody had refrigerators or freezers. She remembers bringing home popsicles from the store.
And in order for the package to stay frozen, we had to dig a hole on the ground. And of course, the permafrost was about 2 feet. June, July.
Today, Slatt says stronger fall storms, including October's ex-typhoon Halong, have been a new piece of the village's relationship with its environment.
We all were changed from the last two fall storms, but this one was the worst. The recent one, we just went 90%. In our community, 90% of the homes experienced water getting into their homes.
Much of the research that was presented had similar firsthand accounts and testimonies around the changing environment. Take Matthew Lohrstorfer, for example. He works for the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association. He presented on the power of engaging people who fish in the research of salmon decline, listening to the people who know the river best when approaching fisheries science.
So our project goal is to contribute to understanding drivers of Yukon River salmon collapse. I have a map here that's probably hard to see. There's three parts to this. The first part is interviews, and these are ethnographic interviews in communities near the mouth.
Nicole Herman Mercer with the U.S. Geological Survey presented a different project that couples collecting interviews with locals and climate data surrounding extreme weather events in YK Delta communities, like the 2022 wildfire that came within 3 miles of the St. Mary's community.
So we set out to develop finer scale climate data coupled with community narratives to create storylines of change in an attempt to really contextualize the data and make it easier to understand.
Nate Akers of the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge presented on the smolt trap in Queethluk, used for fisheries research. He says community partnerships are essential because they also help connect back to the fundamental why of the data collection.
Better science occurs when local participation and knowledge are included. And they should be included because these projects are to support those various subsistence users and their families and their communities that they come from.
Organizers said a record-breaking 160 people registered to participate at the conference this year. In Bethel, I'm Samantha Watson.
Governor Mike Dunleavy signed a $450 million fast-track budget bill last week, according to his spokesman. The closely watched bill provides hundreds of millions of dollars for construction projects, disaster relief, and wildfire suppression. Lawmakers passed it late last month. Construction industry groups had pressed for fast action on the bill. Complex fiscal maneuvering by the legislature last year and a series of vetoes by Dunleavy left the state's 10% match for $700 million in federal infrastructure projects unfunded. Industry groups told lawmakers that meant they were unable to properly prepare for the summer construction season. But the bill faced delays in the House as Republicans objected to a proposed draw from the state's $3 billion savings account, arguing war-driven oil revenue would cover the cost. The Democrat-heavy bipartisan House majority countered that banking on unknown future oil revenues in a volatile market was unwise. Lawmakers ultimately failed to garner the three-quarters supermajority necessary to backstop the budget with a possible savings draw. That leaves it unclear whether the state will have the money to pay for all items in the budget. Republicans said they were willing to revisit a savings draw if it became necessary. Two University of Alaska Fairbanks researchers completed a nearly 2,000-mile journey along Alaska's western coastline by snow machine last week. They were on an expedition studying how the Arctic is changing and how those changes are reshaping life in coastal communities. At the roughly halfway point of their journey from Bethel to Ukiavik, the team sat down with KNOM's Margaret Sutherland for this story.
Inside a warm cabin in Nome, Benjamin Jones finishes prepping for the next leg of a research trip called Coast X 2026. Outside, two snow machine sleds are packed with a week's worth of food and gallons of fuel.
I'm going to throw some pizzas in the oven while we're chit-chatting too.
Trail food for later.
We'll probably like even cook it, and then we'll just roll it up like a calzone and put it in our pocket probably.
Yeah.
There's something to snack on as we're riding.
Jones is a research professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks' Institute of Northern Engineering. He estimates that in over two-plus decades, he's logged up to 20,000 miles by snow machine. But this trip, at nearly 2,000 miles, is the longest yet. He and fellow UAF researcher Philip Wilson are about halfway into a roughly three-week journey, and averaging about 120 miles a day. Wilson is from Fairbanks. He graduated from UAF with a geology degree in 2022 and started working with Jones 2 years ago.
This is how all research used to be. Or like expeditions, you know, you couldn't just fly in somewhere with a helicopter. And especially at UAF, I think it's important that there's kind of a culture of doing expeditions like this.
The pair says they finalized plans for this expedition about a year ago. It's a collaboration with UAF's Action Project, which aims to address the science of a changing Arctic environment. The Arctic is warming about four times faster than the rest of the world. And there are commonalities in the coastal hazards communities in Alaska are experiencing from climate change, like erosion, storm flooding, and permafrost thaw. Wilson says the local impact of those changes and the corresponding solutions are all unique. The goal of this trip is to learn what the problems are and what type of scientific research could help.
So many times in science, like people come from out of state or even from Fairbanks, which is basically like another country, and you show up somewhere and don't talk to anyone locally, do your project, and then leave. And you don't really even interact with anyone. And so to like kind of switch that.
They call this community-centric research. During the trip, the team visits schools and hosts potlucks in villages they visit. They also connect with people informally while filling up gas and collecting supplies. For example, Wilson says they heard concerns from people in the northern Yukon Delta village of Kotlik about coastal flooding because the village does not have an evacuation road.
Then they're right on the coast and it's flooded there a lot. So if they have a flood, there's nowhere to go. And that's not the same as other places. So similar issues, similar like overall thing, but different solutions and different things they're interested in each spot.
The expedition comes just months after ex-Typhoon Halong hit the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta this fall, washing away infrastructure and devastating many communities with high water and severe wind. Typhoon Merbok also hit the Bering Sea region a little over 2 years ago. Jones says remnants of those storms are still visible in the driftwood lines marking high water and coastal bluff and riverbank erosion. And the stories are fresh on people's minds.
It makes the conversations, unfortunately, like really easy because like it's a bad situation, these big fall storms that are happening more recently.
Climate change impacts have led several villages in western Alaska, including Shishmaref on the Seward Peninsula, to seek full relocation. Jones says his team doesn't advise communities on whether or not to move.
But what we can do is collect data to help figure out, you know, how much effort might it be to stay and shelter in place, or if you do want to move to a new location, we can start studying that area and then look at the permafrost properties, reconstruct the erosion history and the flooding history.
The pair arrived in Utqiagvik after 19 days on trail. From there, they'll head back to Fairbanks to process their data and people's stories. Jones says he hopes they will be back next year to repeat the route and continue the conversations they started. Reporting in Nome, I'm Margaret Sutherland.
This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Gnomchik.